in Australia, new research into Indigenous offenders and prison rehabilitation programs. The Australasian Institute of Judicial Administration commissioned the study, which will be released at its Indigenous Justice Conference in Alice Springs this week. President, Western Australian Justice Robert Mazza, says it makes some important findings, but he says the Corrective Services Administrators Council declined to cooperate with the study and greater transparency is needed.
They chose not to. My understanding is that that was a resource response. That's, of course, a matter for them. But what it means is that there isn't any publicly available information concerning the effectiveness of prison rehabilitation programs for Indigenous offenders. It seems to me that without that crucial knowledge, it's very difficult to then tailor and create appropriate programs for Indigenous offenders.
This research attempted to look into every correctional jurisdiction in Australia. How much of an issue is it that the first attempt to try and get some answers on this issue was thwarted at the first step?
The refusal to give the information was not something that was done in bad faith. There's no evidence to that end. But I think by publishing the report, we're able to see that there is a gap in our know-how. And having highlighted that there is a gap, hopefully the next stage in this research will mean that we will have the information that Dr. Jones and Dr. Guthrie needed. I mean, sometimes by exposing the gap in the know-how, the penny drops. In this instance, in this research, despite efforts over a long period of time, we just weren't able to get the data that enabled the researchers to undertake a proper analysis of the effectiveness of these programs.
Why did the Australasian Institute of Judicial Administration decide that this particular research topic, rehabilitation programs and Indigenous prisoners, was an important research topic?
When you have people in prison, it's an opportunity to offer them programs which hopefully are going to address the reasons why they're there in the first place. I'm not saying they're a panacea, because people offend for a whole array of complex interrelated reasons. It's an opportunity to have people undertake alcohol and illicit drug rehabilitation, to change attitudes, for example, on domestic violence, to give education. It's an opportunity to give vocational training. So there's whole lots of opportunities here. If we don't know how effective they are, if we don't know what's working and what's not working, it's really flying blind.
Justice Robert Mazza. In a statement, the Corrective Services Administrators Council said it couldn't provide the information because there were complex issues regarding program and system comparability across jurisdictions. You can read the full response on the Law Report website. The study found that Indigenous prisoners are struggling to access rehabilitation programs in jail. Clark Jones from the Australian National University is co-author of the study.
Access to prison programs is limited. For the number of Indigenous offenders and the increasing numbers of Indigenous offenders, there is not enough availability or access to programs, nor is there enough evaluation done on those programs to see whether they're right or what could be improved on those programs.
And on top of that, there's a dearth of culturally appropriate programs for Indigenous offenders in Australian prisons.
Yes, but it varies, state by state, I should say.
And what are the ramifications of that?
If we're looking at the extremely high reoffending or recidivism rates, we're seeing young people coming into the prison system and only doing, short sentences because of the nature of their offending. But because of the short sentences, they're not getting access to, they don't meet the criteria for rehabilitation. So prison itself becomes a revolving door, and it leads to a lifetime of crime. But also outside of prison, it just contributes to the community dysfunction. It's just a bad circle of events contributing to high imprisonment rates.
In relation to that point that you made, that a lot of Indigenous prisoners are on short-term sentences, 3 to 6 months, which means they're not actually eligible for rehabilitation programs. Does that mean then that Indigenous prisoners in those situations are getting all of the disadvantages of going to prison, as in it's increasing the disadvantage that they're experiencing, and none of the potential benefits in the form of rehabilitation programs?
Oh, look, certainly. And if we're talking about appropriateness of programs, I use the example that was told to me from a Western Australian academic, how a young driving serial offender was constantly driving without a license and repeatedly appeared before the courts, eventually did time in prison. So he went to jail for driving without a license. I mean, it was a lot more complicated than that, but he got access to a rehabilitation, but undertook a 3-month extensive rehabilitation program when really probably what they should have done is just got him a license. So it's not only getting access to programs or the lack of access to programs, it's when they do get access to programs, what are we actually treating? We've got to treat their offending, not something else.
And in relation to the profile of Indigenous offenders serving short-term sentences, are Indigenous offenders more likely to get short-term sentences than the rest of the prison population?
Certainly, particularly with young offenders, they're tripping up for all sorts of reasons, tripping up and being arrested. And it could be what we would perceive to be fairly minor offending ending up in the prison. And the more they come across or come to the attention of the police, it becomes a very slippery slope. The greater exposure to the criminal justice system, the greater the likelihood of reoffending. So the secret is to work with the police and with communities and look for alternatives to incarceration. Or in my colleague, Dr. Jill Guthrie, who was the co-author on this report, has been doing a lot of work in justice reinvestment. So instead of spending the money on incarcerating young Indigenous people, is actually spending money more towards the social support networks and community programs and opportunities for young people rather than the prison system.
And the report makes the point multiple times that part of the problem, a big part of it, needs to be dealt with outside of prisons, but there is still a significant role for prisons to play within the broad set of issues.
And that brings back to one of the sort of the key areas is looking at reoffending or recidivism rates. And it is extremely alarming in some states. In WA, for Indigenous male juveniles, it's over 80%. Even in New South Wales, the reconviction rate within 2 years for non-Indigenous was 74%, but for Indigenous was up to 86%. I mean, those figures are just alarming. It shows you that why the over-representation of Indigenous people, which is up at about 27% of the prison population compared to, what is it, around 2 or 3% of Indigenous people in the overall population in Australia. So until we start addressing some of those extremely concerning figures, we're in for a lot of problems within our already over-bulging prison population in Australia.
What are your thoughts or what are your findings in relation to how much funding for rehabilitation programs has increased alongside the increase in the prison population in the states and territories in Australia?
I don't think it goes hand in hand. I think there's more of a will to build more prisons, whether it be in the Indigenous space. We always think that it's easier to build our way out of the problem by building more prisons.
So you don't think that the number of and the availability of rehabilitation programs is increasing with the prison population?
Not at all, no. No, I think that's where, rather than building more prisons, we need to look how we can, firstly, alternative to incarceration, but if it's inevitable, then we need to increase our level of rehabilitation, not just any rehabilitation, but the specific rehabilitation that takes into consideration the nuances, cultural nuances or religious nuances in some cases, and there are other offender categories then that can be also applicable to.
Why is it so important for Indigenous prisoners to have access to culturally appropriate rehabilitation programs?
I think it's important, one, to buy into the program and the trust between those that conducting rehabilitation and the offender. It's extremely important in relation to results of effective programs and getting the best results to reduce reoffending. I'm not saying there aren't offender-specific programs. There are in various jurisdictions, but we need to do it a lot more across all jurisdictions.
Clark Jones from ANU. The report's other author is Jill Guthrie, a descendant of the Wiradjuri people of Western New South Wales and research fellow at ANU. she'd like to see greater transparency and oversight of prisons.
What might be beneficial is some sort of national oversight of what's happening. For example, in the way of what might be a nationally appointed inspector of prisons, I think that sort of appointment might break down some of the barriers in those relationships at the high level that are needed for this transparency to happen. So break it down kind of intrastate, if you like, and also across jurisdictions. I just think a national oversight would be the way to go. And perhaps, I don't know whether it would be maybe placed in the Human Rights Commission or somewhere like that, so that this person would possibly report to Parliament in the way that the Human Rights Commissioner does, and I think the Social Justice Commissioner does. So that gives it that national oversight. To me, it's to break down what could be construed as those fiefdoms that are, you know, that each of the prison systems in each state constitutes at the moment.
Why is it important for information about prison rehabilitation programs to be made public or at least made available to researchers?
So we can see the impact of those rehabilitation programs, and I also see it would create something of a continuous quality improvement situation, and whether it's also good value for money in terms of taxpayer money, paying for people to be in prison anyway. So in the absence of knowing what those rehab programs are and whether they're effective, so evaluations around them, we're operating in a bit of a vacuum, really, as to how we can reduce those recidivism rates.
Jill Guthrie from ANU. And there's another report out this week on the effectiveness of Indigenous programs more broadly. It also found a lack of evaluation of programs. It's published by the Centre for Independent Studies, and you can find that report on our website too.
Do you guys have Barramundi here?
This is Mike and Timothy,
potato scallops,
the unlikely hosts of a new RN podcast. It's called The Real Thing.
Oh, mama, you skipped over too high.
Stories.
Intimate stories, scenes, characters, places.
Born of Australia.
We're heading out into the corners to find the real Australia.
The Real Thing.
That's us.
Subscribe now.